Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, I'm not offended at all that Jeff and Bob went to the game, went to the Bucks game two with the Celtics, didn't get a phone call. That's okay. You know what? I was busy. I was busy betting online. How about that, Bob Ryan, for a segue? Our partners at Bet Online continue with the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds of the playoffs, Major League Baseball, fights, and next season's NFL futures. God, that's out already. The run for the roses at the Kentucky Derby. Makes me think of our buddy Bob Neumeier. Neumie, we know you'll be watching. Somehow you'll get some money at the window. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. Super easy. Get started. Head to the website. Use the code CLNS50 to receive 50% your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay, you two guys were at the game last night, so I'm going to open it up. I watched it on TV. Bob, your thoughts?
That anybody can win a game when they shoot from threes the way they did last night. And you know, that was almost otherworldly. And the disparity between the two was extraordinary when you consider that the Celtics scored 60 points on threes and the other guy scored nine. They were three for whatever. And that's not going to happen again. So enjoy it, folks. If they're going to win more games in the series, it'll have to encompass more than what they did last night, because that just worked out. That's a dream scenario that is not sustainable. The other team, you're not going to have that kind of disparity where you're going to shoot that great, they're going to be that bad. Okay. And, you know, we were kiddingly saying, what do they have to do? They'll make shots, right? You know, Doc Rivers has famously said years ago, it's a make-miss league. And, you know, all the other analysis that you have about who's guarding who or what kind of scheme and how to defense the pick and roll and how to do this and how to do that. If you make shots as they made shots, you're probably going to win. And if you miss shots the way Milwaukee did, you're probably going to lose. So, I mean, it was an aberrational game, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. I would also add in, I think it would have been a game had Giannis done what Giannis usually does, especially in the first half. I give Grant Williams a ton of credit. I thought, again, Jaylen Brown set the tone right away offensively. He was dominant. I mean, didn't miss early, making good passes, not looking for his own the whole time. And I really thought the underrated hero of the game was Grant Williams on both ends of the court. You know, he makes threes, but really what Ime Udoka did to trust him and say, all right, I'm going to let my undersized foreman, which is really what Grant is, let's face it, yep, who probably can't jump over a phone book, I'm going to put him on the league's most intimidating player, powerful, athletic, whatever it is for Giannis. And, oh, by the way, I'm not going to give you any help, Grant. I'm really not going to give you any help. It's you on Giannis. And Giannis couldn't do anything in the first half, nothing. In fact, he would get the ball at the three-point line facing up and just gave it up in the second quarter. It almost looked like Grant Williams was in his head a little bit.
He started off 1-for-10. And of course the first game, the thing he did so well was drive and dish and did these open guys who were making their shots. And this was the adjustment that Ime made. So we were double teaming, even triple teaming. These other guys were making their shots. Let's see. And the age old formula, this goes back to Wilt. And I'm just saying, you know, let him get his 45. If we can shut the others down, which is, by the way, Dallas, when Doncic got 45 points the other night and they lost. and it didn't make Doncic a bad person. This doesn't make Giannis a bad person or a bad, you know, it's a chosen strategy. But they're famous for, they've loaded up with some shooters. And in the first game, Grayson Allen had a terrific game. Last night he was inconsequential, you know. And
other than complaining when he got pulled down, which was kind of comical for all, of all people, of Grayson Allen to get upset when somebody yanks him and pulls him down, because
apparently our crowd is well aware of his history based on the serenade that they gave him in the fourth quarter, which began with a word that, you know, that's not really used in polite society. But anyway, the crowd is well aware. Plus, the crowd is well aware of Giannis last year and his free throw shooting 10-second thing. It was a fun, you know, they made it a fun night, by the way, in the fourth quarter when it was was part of the fun of being there, was the crowd was really, really into it, you know, in a fun way.
Well, the comments that I have is, first of all, it's live by the three, die by the three. And despite the fact that the Celtics seem to have the game in hand, as I was watching it here at home, Milwaukee posted within 12 in the fourth.
12.
And I'm like, okay, here we go. Yeah. You know, so I think, Bob, you're right. Enjoy it while you can. Because even when they shot that exorbitant amount of threes and made them, still with like 4 or 5 minutes to go, I'm thinking, okay, Milwaukee, you know, if Giannis converts on one of those and now you get it down to 10, get in the single digits, it's a completely different ball game. So you got to be careful. Secondly, I will tell you this, Jeff, is on the television broadcast, they gave Grant Williams a ton of credit. I mean, they were all over him.
They should have.
I mean, he was the ISOs on him. I mean, that kid got a ton of credit. And I don't know, Bob, we'll go old bastard. You dropped Wilt. I thought of Paul Silas, you know?
Well, he's become a very important piece of the puzzle and both ends of the floor. This ability to hit the open three that he's demonstrated from the corner has really been, you know, very valuable to the team. And we know that he has a high basketball IQ, you know, and he's got a strong body. I keep saying, I wish he were 6'9", you know, but, you know, he isn't. He's 6'6".
And I keep telling you the Celtics wouldn't have had him if he were 6'9".
Yeah, right. So there you go. You're right. But I mean, for his own sake. And so, no, he's become really important. He's a vital part of that puzzle. And the idea that you can survive without a Marcus Smart by making up for it in other areas, you know, was important last night. That was let's face it, game two, when you're down one and you're the home team and you've lost game one, is a very essential game to win. I mean, that was a crucial game. And now we've got a series. And for sure, there would have been a serious deep doo-doo going back to Milwaukee down 0-2. But yeah. Anyway, the Grant Williams thing, I'm glad that they recognize him. He's a damn good basketball player.
Yeah, and I didn't think he was going to be on this team. I mean, I thought that, you know, he was going to be one of the guys that they were going to have to ship out. Also, amazing how things have changed, where I, a year ago, would have said, if Marcus Smart is out, it's addition by subtraction. But the fact is, I was really worried that Marcus wasn't playing in this game, Jeff. You know, and the fact that they still won without Marcus playing, now Derek White didn't deliver.
No.
You know, so you got one end of the spectrum where Grant Williams delivers, Derek White doesn't deliver, but they were still able to pull out the win.
Well, because again, you know, Jalen was so good offensively, and that was, you know, an area game one, Jalen was so bad offensively. I mean, he kind of cost them in game one because you don't have Chris Middleton on the other side. So to me, that's your advantage. As much as anything, you've got a sidekick, you've got a second all-star. Now, Jrue Holiday played like an all-star game one. He was bad early in game two, you know, turning the ball over, making poor decisions. I think, again, if you can get Jalen going, we know what Tatum's going to do every night now for the most part.
Right, you can depend on him. Right.
He just, you know, the bottom line, I'm talking to him last night after the game, and the one thing that really is a difference maker with Jason Tatum right now is his maturity, overall maturity. Like, not just obviously how he plays the game now is different, right? He's trusting his teammates, but even when you watch him post game handle the media and he's talking to me afterwards. And again, I've known him for, I don't know how old he is. What is he? 23?
24.
So I've known him probably 8 years, I'd say somewhere around there. And it just hit me last night. All right, like, this isn't a kid anymore. And I think the big thing is, I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have matured over the last year or so. And Ime Udoka was the perfect guy to get him to mature because he called them out. He called them out, whether it was privately, whether it was publicly, he called them out for some of their bad habits where Brad Stevens was never going to do that.
Gary, with regard to that lead dwindling, I think what happens, and it's just, it's so hard to avoid. You get up, dig, everything's going your way, and then you revert back, and you get careless. You get mentally careless. You don't put the emphasis on the stops, which is all you need to do is just keep them. If you go swap baskets when you're up by 20, you know, that with 18 minutes to go, that's fine. But you don't do that. You get a little careless. They started going the one-on-one a little more than they were going in the first half. They went away from the ball, the good ball movement they had. And this happens all the time in this league. I've seen it for literally 50 years. It's just, it's a hard mental thing to fight. So I expect that the other team will come back because this phenomenon will kick in, and the fact that they will start missing shots now that they were making. I mean, it was extraordinary what they were doing and shot making. So that's just, but they had such a cushion that the worst that happened was down to 12.
But we've also seen, Bob, on the positive side, we've also seen them respond to that. I mean, we saw that in the Brooklyn game. Brooklyn gets within four, Celts come back. They're now up by eight. Same thing last night, you know, and I think a lot of it was defensively, you know, and my feeling about last night's game, like, do I think the Celtics are going to win the series? Probably not.
It's a toss up though. Gary, it's a complete toss up.
You think so?
I do. I do. We've seen it these first two games, you know, Milwaukee's missing an all-star.
But they got to shoot like that. I mean, are they going to shoot like that again?
No, but they don't have, you know
right. They don't have to shoot that well.
Right. That was extraordinary. I know.
I mean, they won. They controlled that entire, there was never any true game pressure put on. So even if they don't shoot that well, let's say they're in a close game, which I think maybe both of these next two games, I would say one of the two is going to just split the next two. And I think this series goes seven at this point.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if the Celtics win, well, I feel the Celtics have had a successful season regardless of what happens. You know, I mean, if they lose in seven.
Sure.
And if they lose to the defending champs, there's no shame in that.
Nope.
I just expect Milwaukee to bounce back. Now, so what's the key, fellas, in order to that to happen? I mean, does Smart have to be able to play? Is it the Time Lord? I wonder about Jaylen Brown's hamstring. I mean, he shot lights out in the first half. He didn't shoot one in the second half. What's going on there?
Well, he didn't take that. Well, right. That's one reason why.
Well, they took him out of it. I mean, again, you're going to try to take him out of the game, which they did a good job, and he didn't shot hunt. I would say, you know, to me, it's still going to be about the others for Milwaukee because they're not going to have Middleton. You know, like Giannis is going to get his. We know that. But it's the Bobby Portises and the Jrue Holidays. Those are the guys that are going to have to show up. You know, Conn can give you a little bit. Grayson Allen can have a game here or there. But to me, it's Jrue Holiday's got to be that second guy, and he wasn't that second guy last night.
No. This was not at all. Jeff and I were sitting there, at the end of the half, we go back to what we were talking about, Gary in the lead and answering the thing. We're sitting there in the second half and second quarter, and at one point, the way it's dwindling a little bit, I said, 14. I'll be happy to be up 14 at the half. 14 is my goal. Well, they were up 25. they dug in and they made, you know, when it looked like it could have gone down to 14, it could have gone down to 10. But no, they had the answer in that second quarter, and they got it back up to 25. Now it was the word I want to use is encouraging. And I just hope it reminds them how they need to play.
Move the ball. They did that for the most part. Yeah. Bob and I were looking at each other a couple times when Tatum jacked one early and the shot clock came down and we're like, and he took a terrible shot from the left wing.
Airballed the damn thing and he deserved to. It was a stupid shot.
Right.
And
there are a couple of those, but for the most part, they moved the basketball and got really good open looks. And the really good open looks they got on game one didn't fall. And like you said, Bob, like the old Doc Rivers adage, it's a make or miss league. They made them in game two, period.
All right. So the key for the Celtics to pull off the upset, which it would be an upset, is move the ball, and Grant Williams has to continue to contain the freak. Well, right?
If this is the real Grant Williams, yeah, right. He's going to, you know, but I think that's for him. I think we're
the freak stopper. We need a shirt. Grant Williams, the freak stopper.
Well, but just in general terms, him playing the way he's playing has really been a bonus. Meanwhile, there's 3 days now to get, you know, for both Smart and Brown, and whatever it is with Brown, who,
Emay said he wasn't worried. I think he said he played a ton of minutes at that point. I know people were a little concerned. He didn't seem concerned that he tweaked it anything significant.
Okay, so let's go, as we wrap up the Celtics, let's move on, and this will include Tatum a little bit, but I think it was, I can't remember if it was Jeff or Bob on the text chain, but the three young guns, so Tatum and Ja last night with 47, holy cow, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude is a freaking blast.
Yep.
All I got to say is, like, you want to watch some fun TV. I would sit there and say, would you rather watch Ja Morant in the fourth quarter or the Avengers? And right now I'm taking Ja Morant. I mean, holy crap, Bob.
He's already reached a level where you're not surprised.
No.
You're not surprised. 47, okay, yeah, okay. That's good, Ja. You know, and that's what he can do. You know that's what he can do. I have a question, just in general. Let me just jump right to the chase with them, Jeff. Can you see the Memphis Grizzlies holding a Lombardi trophy in 2022?
No.
Okay.
No, I'd be shocked. I would be shocked. I still don't think Ja's got enough around him.
I say Lombardi trophy? Larry O'Brien.
Yeah, we knew what you meant. Larry O'Brien.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think they win it. But again, it's, you know, the healthiest team. We've talked about it. Like that may play in here down the stretch. Let's see if these, you know, I don't think Memphis, the end of the day, I don't think they're going to be able to close out a team with a culture like Golden State has with Steph and Clay.
But man, they're a blast.
And Draymond.
My God. I mean, you know, at this stage of the game, I don't generally leave my house, but I get on a plane and I go to Memphis and hang out on Beale Street to watch a game. You know, I love Beale Street, man. I love that town. So probably you could say the same thing about Luka, right, guys? I mean, Luka doesn't have enough around him.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't think he does. I mean, they got by in the previous series with Jalen Brunson, one of my favorite players, I must say, but with an out-of-body experience of scoring 72 points in back-to-back games. That's not Jalen Brunson. That's not – I mean, that's just – you can't expect that to see that again, certainly not in 2022. But, no, they need more help, I think. Luka got this 45, and that wasn't enough. And it was, you know, it's not like there's anything you can fault him for. He did everything he could, but it wasn't enough. I don't think there's enough
There's not. That's the problem with both those teams. But then you look around and you're like, all right, they don't have enough. Golden State looks like they have a lot more. You know, Philly's down Embiid. Milwaukee's down Middleton. You know, you look at some of these teams, that's where the Celtics, if they get Smart back healthy, and, you know, again, for him to miss a huge game like game two surprises me and tells me he's certainly
– he's hurt.
Yeah, he's really hurt. He's really hurt.
It's not just a stinger.
No. Yeah, this is serious. Yeah. This has got to be fairly serious. Hopefully in the next 3 days he can get healthy enough. But I guess all I'm saying is, you know, we say they don't have enough, but you look around and Booker's not completely back healthy. If he does, at least you have two all-stars there with Chris Paul and Booker. Golden State has multiple guys. You know, the Celtics have multiple guys right now. Who else does? Miami? Miami's just a team. They're different than everybody else. Right?
Yep, they are. And I almost say fear, but I respect them. I'm wary of them. I think there's no – I can envision them holding the Larry O'Brien trophy.
If Lowry gets
they
healthy.
They may be – I look at them as last man standing, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, like
they're in like UFC, right? They're in like a cage and right. nobody can knock them out. Yeah.
Because you have to knock out more than one, right? It's like the sum of the parts, blah, 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 right? Yep. So because you have all that depth, plus Hero got six man of the year, right? Yep. Just by himself. I mean, at the end of the day, dudes, it could be Miami.
And there, you mentioned the injuries, Jeff. And you know, they don't have a fully healthy Butler, and probably won't. And so there's another one. It's we talked about this last week. It's so much the story of 2022 is who's available or who isn't available. It really, really is. Now, Golden State loses Gary Payton Jr. last night. Now, he's not the most, he's not a frontline player, but he's a depth player, and he's
an elite defensively.
And defensive player, he's elite.
Right.
He's his dad's clone.
You can put him on Ja. You know, that's the thing.
What did you guys, see the replay of the Brooks hit?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, now, Chuck and Kenny and Shaq were all talking about that. So I'll steal from the best. Ernie asked him on TNT, you know, did that break the code, Bob? You know, because he got ejected immediately for that.
Yeah. It was reminiscent of the Grayson Allen hit on Caruso, I thought.
Yeah.
And it was very similar. I mean, you know, I'd have to see him back to back or side by side. But it just reminded me of that, you know, the guy on the left side of the basket being pulled down, winding up and being hurt by the fall, by the, you know, in this case, it was his elbow, I believe. And I forget what it was with Caruso, which was, by the way, a very significant blow to Chicago's overall season.
Sure.
So anyway,
listen, it deserved an ejection. We know that. I think, again, Memphis has been built on toughness. That's what the city's all about. Dylan Brooks is a guy who's been a lunch pail guy his whole life. He's not a dirty player. It was one of those plays where, again, don't give them anything easy, right? Don't let them feel comfortable in this game. And he took it to an extreme.
So is it worth it? Like, when you play that game, Jeff, I just say it's, I'll use the example of, I'll use a football analogy since Bob brought up the Lombardi Trophy. But, you know, Parcells, when he was coaching the Giants against the Bills, and he said, I want a 15-yard penalty on the first play, right? So he goes, because the Bills were better.
Yeah.
And he says, I want take somebody out on the first play. So is that when you're coaching Memphis, you have to live with that, right?
Well, especially against Golden State, right? They're not known as the toughest group other than probably Draymond. Payton, right? They're, you know, to me,
they're finesse.
You want to set the tone early in the game of like, we're not going to take their shit. Like everybody says, every coach wants that. You just don't want to lose your second best player for the game. Now, again, they were able to get away with it. But, you know, and now the question is, it looks like Payton is done for the series, right? I mean,
you would think
I think he's got a broken, elbow or
so, and yeah, so in the next man up category, I'm not sure who that is right now for them. So
they don't have another guy like him. That's the thing, is he can match their toughness of Memphis. They don't have a lot of those guys. So I still think Golden State wins that series. But the great part is, like, these series are all fairly interesting, other than maybe now the Sixers won just because of Embiid's injury. Right,
like what's going on there, Jeff? What do you think with Embiid? I mean, obviously, if he's out, they're done.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not sure they win it even with him being 100%, but without him for the first two games, they're in major trouble. I mean, they're not going to come back from that. And again, like Joel's just that guy that nobody has an answer for. You know, he's what can you do? You can't do anything with him, so. Now it just puts pressure on Maxey, just not good enough. Like, Maxey on the right night can be good enough, but you can't count on him every game. We talked about this last week. Tobias was really good. But again, you need Embiid to be able to compete for.
Oh, they're disproportionately dependent on him to be.
Yep.
I'm declaring this thing over.
Yeah.
And that's all. I'll be completely gobsmacked that Philadelphia finds a way to come back and win, even with him, but he's not, apparently. It certainly is going to be with him in the short run. So,
And we have yet, you know, the Suns are kind of they don't get a lot of play.
No,
they don't. They don't.
They don't. They just go along with 63 games and coming off of back to finals. And I'm a believer. All right. I'm totally a believer.
I mean, you could have Suns Miami. And have a hell of a series.
Yeah, you could. And
What's the best matchup now? What does the NBA want, Bob?
Wait a minute. Hold it. Can we answer that two ways?
Okay.
Because it's a good question, Jeff. Two answers. The best basketball matchup and then the best marketing matchup. Because when you say what the NBA wants, the NBA does not want Miami and Phoenix.
That's why I'm asking that question. What does the NBA want first from a rating standpoint? What gets the most casual interest? What matchup up?
Golden State and Boston.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Yeah. No doubt. You got the markets.
A national, image. Yeah. And when now, they're back again, And the old timers can pass on, these guys, this is, I grew up with the Celtics, son, or grandson. I grew up with the Celtics.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. And it's fun. And they're somewhat polarizing, love them or hate them. People have this, I understand. And Golden State, because they have the most significant, lovable player in basketball. Now everywhere you go, you see him on a commercial. He sold himself. Curry is, LeBron aside, Curry's the face of the league, I think.
Yeah.
How long have you known Curry?
Since he was probably at Davidson. So I didn't really see him. Nobody really paid attention to him in AAU ball because he wasn't good.
The guy doesn't have a bad bone in his body, correct?
No, he's the superstar that hasn't changed. A lot of these guys, KD's changed over the years. I don't think, again, everybody you talk to and my limited dealings with Steph over the last few years doesn't seem to have changed at all. Actually, the only way he's changed is he outwardly – has more fun on the court. A lot of people would think it is maybe taunting, a lot of celebrating. He definitely does a lot more of that.
He's a big-time celebrator now.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And that wasn't always the case today. I don't recall him being that way when they were winning championships.
I'll say this. Not only is the Celtics-Golden State matchup the best ratings matchup, I think it's also the best basketball matchup.
I'm not prepared. I'd have to think it over. I'm not ready. But I certainly think.
What about Miami, Jeff? What about Miami and Golden State?
I like it. I just feel like, are people that excited to see Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry?
I meant basketball.
For a purist
basketball matchup.
Miami is always a worthwhile because they do it right. They play the game well, right? Absolutely. I Miami is, but they don't have a cachet at all.
That's what I'm saying. Like the Celtics. You have, to me, a Hall of Famer, and I know you guys are going to maybe shake your heads at me, but I think Jason Tatum is going to be a Hall of Famer.
That's not crazy, Jeff. Totally on his trajectory.
I think you have a guy that is just so much fun to watch in Tatum. You have storylines, right? This team that sucked early on in the season, a rookie head coach. Brad Stevens is their GM. Like, you've just got so many.
Right.
And you've got the star. Now, Giannis is the star, too. He's just not as much fun to watch, in my opinion, as Jason Tatum because he can't shoot the – it's just not as pretty to watch as Jason Tatum.
Yeah. I want to throw one out at you. It just occurred to me watching the Suns in that particularly in that Sunday game when a wonderful game against Memphis was a – absolutely. Warriors. For me, for 30 years, the gold standard of the best three-man backcourt in the history of the game was Isaiah, Joe Dumars, and Vinny the Microwave.
Right.
I don't think there's ever been a more dynamic three-man backcourt. The way Jordan Poole was playing, fellows, could they conceivably enter into that discussion? You got two Hall of Famers, and you got a kid putting up major numbers.
Well, I like the two Golden State players better than the two starting guards for the Warriors. I mean, Dumars was a gutty player. I don't think talent-wise, the Pistons, I don't think Dumars could hold Steph or Clay's job.
No, I agree.
But that's the tiebreaker for me.
But the Vinny was a special case.
Oh, he's crazy.
Vinny was a total special case. Anyway, that was my favorite. That to me, that was the best three-man backcourt I've ever encountered. this one, if this continues now, of course, it's going to have a relatively short life in that, you know, these Steph and Clay are in in their 30s.
Sure.
But anyway, in the short run, this is a dynamic of backcourt three trio, as I can recall, since the Detroit three. I'll put it down.
Yeah, I'm trying to think right now. Is there another trio that I can think of? I mean, you got to start with like an elite level point guard.
Yep.
And a lot of those guys didn't have a running mate that was that good, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, it would be, well, I haven't done any research. You know, this is all anecdote. This is all off the top of my head. But it just jumped out at me with Poole.
Did Andrew Toney come off the bench for the Sixers at all?
No. Andrew Toney, he may be in the very, very, very beginning, but by the time the playoffs arrived in 81, he was starting.
Yeah, they didn't have enough. I mean, it was like, you know, Cheeks and Toney at their heyday.
Who would have been the other starters?
Clint Richardson. Richardson.
No way.
It doesn't matter.
They didn't have a third.
Toney was, you know, and you know how I feel about Cheeks. I'm a major
so underrated
president of the, member of the Maurice Cheeks fan club. I'm the regional president, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Oh, the regional. Okay. That means there's a national somewhere.
Well, I got the right. Billy. I stuck my hand up when he got in the Hall of Fame to write the program story over anybody from Philadelphia, or I wrote his program story.
Well, because he was so understated.
I just loved him. Think he was, anyway. Anyway,
I just have to say this, Jeff Goodman. The reason why Bob Bryant is a Hall of Famer is because I don't know if anybody else would come up with a question. What is the best three combo guard situation in the NBA?
I know. And I'm like, Bob, killing myself.
I'm like, how you came up with that question? It's a great question, but I never would have thought of that question in a million years.
I'm gonna try to research it for next week.
Yeah,
see what you can do.
I'm trying to think. No, the vintage Knicks. First, it was Frazier and Barnett, but I don't think there was a worthy third guard. And then it was Frazier and Errol, and Mike Reardon. That's not the answer. So anyway, there we go. Anyway,
we'll figure it out as we wrap up.
I want to hit Chris Paul.
Yeah.
We talked to him.
Oh, yeah. What do you want to rate
point guards? Yeah.
I want to say that a public mea culpa, not for the first time, but yet again, I want to go on record as saying that I actually saw him in college a couple of times and was unimpressed.
Yeah.
He's
not going to blow you away.
Ever told me that this guy would be an iconic player, and he is. And now, all right, here's the question. We got talented point guards of young, we got Ja, we've just agreed is explosive and dynamic and mercurial and unstoppable and fun and the whole thing. And we got Trae Young on nights and we got guys. I got to win a game tonight, guys. You got to win. It's game seven. It's for everything. You got to win. And you have your pick of all the point guards currently active in the National Basketball Association. Who do you want? Got to win tonight. No issue.
Probably Luka for me.
Point guard?
Yeah, I want Luka. I want the ball in his hands. He's big.
Wait a minute. Now, okay.
He's a point guard. Luka's a point guard.
That's like saying LeBron's a point guard.
But Luka's always got the ball in his hands. He's their point guard. Well, he's their everything.
Okay, then we're going to have a friendly, I'm on the Paul bandwagon. Now, he'll find 37 on Friday, by the way. And this is his 17th year. And does he look any different?
No.
Sometimes
no,
when he looks better.
He got better with time.
God.
Because he's healthy now, too. He's always hurt.
Decision-making. Always.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And now he's become the rarity, the master of the mid-range shot. Get it off anytime he wants. At 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
And
that's where I feel like Luka's got an advantage, because Luka can finish around the basket. Chris Paul is just not the scorer that Luka is. No. And I think Luka, while being very different facilitator, is equally as good.
Put him in that category. I'm not going to argue, but I mean, I was thinking more of conventional point guards. But no,
you were thinking more of the 1980s point guard.
Yeah, and right, exactly. And and of course, we've all long since agreed that LeBron is no longer LeBron's just a player. who happens to have the ball in his hands a lot. Yeah. He's not a guard, not a forward.
Yeah, he's not a point guard. I think Luka's a point guard. I really believe Luka, if you have to categorize him as something, it's a point guard because he's always got the ball in his hands, where LeBron had it in his hands, but he was clearly like a do-everything. You played him at point forward a ton. You know, Luka to me is a point guard.
I just wanted to pay homage to Chris Paul.
You can pay homage to Chris Ford too.
And I love to pay homage to Chris Ford, one of the most normal human beings. He might be the most normal human being that ever coached a professional sport that I know of. I always said he was like having the next door neighbor. What do you do for a living? Oh, I coach the Celtics. He could be going to sell insurance.
Yes.
I mean, he was just the most normal person.
Working at the hardware store.
That's a story for another day. But Chris Paul, I want to just give him his props.
Yeah.
And I would be very comfortable if I have to play for my life tonight, having him run my team.
There you go. Much to the probably dismay of one Jeff Goodman, I have to compliment Bob on his Winning Time column in the Boston Globe, which I love the show. I mean, I'm on the record. I understand where Bob is coming from, but if you want an entertaining read, read Bob's column, because like every other Bob Ryan column, whenever I read Bob's column, I hear his voice. And I heard his voice loud and clear.
I wanted to be rather emphatic in this one. FYI, Garrett and Jeff, Jeff Perlman and I have established a nice texting communication, and he is planning on inviting me onto his podcast to have a friendly discussion.
Good.
I showed up, Gary. I showed up, you know, pregame last night, and I sit down with my meal, and Bob Ryan and Steve Buckley are sitting at a table, and I sit down, and they're talking about Rudy, and I'm like, why are you guys talking about Rudy right now? And then it came out that they had transitioned from Winning Time to Rudy.
About taking liberties, Gary, you know, the literary license with things.
Oh,
and the things.
I mean, Buck, Rudy's a perfect example of that.
Buck was all over Rudy. He had very strong negative.
He was all over Art Howe. He was all over Art Howe.
Art Howe was trashed and totally misrepresented by the figure
The great Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, one of the greatest actors of all time. You know, it's just, I understand. The one thing I will just say about Winning Time is everybody's a target. I mean, when you watch it, Jeff, Westhead, Paul's, I mean, Bob's right. If anybody has a case, it's Westhead. Poor Westhead. They make him really look like a buffoon. But everybody else, I mean, other than Kareem, I mean, everybody, they poke fun at everybody. Yeah. Magic can't keep his pants on. You know, Riley, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing at first and he figures it out. I mean, Bus is just crazy. And then Larry's dipping. I mean, no one's safe.
That's Johnny Most, the Johnny Most thing is awful.
Did they kill Johnny Most?
Oh, now they want to. First of all, the guy tried to do the voice. He wasn't close.
He wasn't close.
Seriously. He tried to do Johnny. He didn't come close. And, we once had a Johnny Most sound-alike contest back in the day.
Oh, I remember those.
And it was really good. These guys were uniformly.
Oh, they could nail it.
And Mike Donovan won it, I believe. It was a basketball coach in the Cape.
Yeah.
And he was – but some of these guys were – fan. And it wasn't just that, but they had the material. You know, the thing that separated them. Right. They all had the voice, but the material
diddles
mattered.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
JoJo wants it. JoJo gets it.
You make a good point, but I'm never going to come around.
But it's great writing. I mean, Bob, I love your writing anyways.
Well, thank you.
As soon as I knew it was in the Globe, I had to read this. I don't know how. It certainly didn't come from me, but I'm sure it's made its way into the production offices of Winning Time.
I hope so.
All right, JoJo. We'll see you next week.